So 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 to 7. Listen, this is God's word. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. I wonder what inspired you to do the job that you are in right now. Maybe you are continuing the family business. It's probably becoming less common these days. Maybe it's a particular gift you have, or skill, or interest, and that opens up a career for you. Maybe it's more practical. You need a job to pay the bills, and this particular job works for your schedule. But a massive influence in the work we do is often those already in the profession. And this is especially true for young people. Growing up, maybe you had a great teacher, or a great doctor, or a great mechanic, and they had such a positive impact in your life that it inspired you to do that job. Now, today's sermon is not about finding the perfect job, but Paul does present before us three different occupations. And he's not suggesting to Timothy that he should give up on ministry and try a different job. No, quite the opposite. He wants Timothy to be inspired by them, to learn from them. And ultimately, they're teaching the same thing that we are to endure. We are to keep going. We're to persevere. Timothy is a pastor, and it's a struggle. He's dealing with false teaching, and he's dealing with persecution, and he's having to cope with the fact that his mentor, Paul, is in prison for the gospel and could be executed any day. And as we looked at last week, Paul is telling Timothy to be loyal to the gospel by guarding it, meaning to be faithful to it, to keep preaching the gospel message. That's not an easy calling. And so he continues to help Timothy understand what it means to endure. We see the word therefore, which links chapter 1 and chapter 2. To be loyal to the gospel, you have to endure hardships. And that's only possible because of the strength that God gives us. Well, the hardships that Timothy faced are not so different from the hardships that we face today. He faced hardships from within the church. Well, that's still true today. Sometimes we face the biggest criticism from fellow believers, particularly those from different denominations. Or it's so-called Christians who undermine our position. And the media are very good at this. From time to time, they want to show that they are balanced, and so they invite a Christian on air to speak, to give the Christian point of view. And you wonder, where did they find this person? They're often very liberal and never mention what the Bible has to say. And rather than be supportive to their fellow Christian, they often undermine them on the world stage. We face hardship from the world. When people hear you are a Christian, well, you're seen as a target for mockery and discrimination. And just this past week, we saw it on a national level with Vice President Pence's wife working in a Christian school that doesn't support or promote LGBT rights. One headline asks the question, does she still warrant Secret Service protection by teaching in this school? Christians are now seen as out of touch with extreme and barbaric views. And for many of you, you face this at work. Young people, you're facing this in school or in university, or for some of you, maybe even in your family. So how do you remain loyal to the gospel and endure hardship? Well, firstly, notice you rely on the grace of God to endure and to give you strength for each day, in verse 1. Rely on the grace of God to endure and to give you strength for each day. We know we are saved by God's grace alone. But we often forget God does not leave us alone. God's grace continues to work in us and to change us. In the Table Talk devotional, it says, "When our Creator, who abounds in steadfast love, decides to set his favor on even the most heinous sinner, there is nothing that can keep him from turning that sinner into an effective saint." Yes, God saves us, but he continues to sanctify us by his grace. It's like our heart has stopped. And so the medics, they use a defibrillator to get the heart going again. But once the heart is going, we need medicine, maybe even a pacemaker, so that the heart continues to function properly. Well, in a similar way, we need the grace of God for us to start the Christian life, but we also need the grace of God to continue in the Christian life. And that grace is what Paul is telling Timothy to be strong in. So Timothy isn't to muster up his own courage or strength. No, he was to find strength in the grace of God. And we see evidence of God's grace in chapter 1 when Paul speaks of the Holy Spirit. In God's grace, he gives us the Holy Spirit to live in us, to empower us. He gives us the means of grace to strengthen and enable us, his word, the preaching of his word, prayer, the sacraments, fellowship with other believers. And when we neglect these means of grace, we find we become spiritually weak. And the verb that Paul uses is in the continuous sense. Keep on being strengthened. God continually strengthens you every day. So this verse isn't simply for when you feel weak. No, God's grace is working in you. And so you shouldn't hesitate to get out there, to take the lead by the grace and the strength of God. Grace from God is always available. And so you have the strength to endure. It's like the air we breathe. We don't remind ourselves to breathe. You do it. And likewise, you live the Christian life by God's grace. Sometimes as Christians, we can become hesitant, timid, waiting until we feel strong. We're paralyzed in prayer, demanding God's grace. We have it. And so go forth in the strength that God provides for us. Kent Hughes says in his commentary, and you have it in your outline, "Nothing would come Timothy's way as he guarded the gospel that he would not have the greatest strength to handle. No person, no pain, no problem, no responsibility, no tragedy. There would be no time when he could not stand tall. If he calls you to do something, he will supply sufficient strength through his grace. If he calls you to step forward, he will give you the power. If he calls you to step up, he will give you the fortitude. If he calls you to endure, the strength you need will be found in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So you may be a Christian for 6 months, or 10 years, or 60 years. In that time, you have been depending on the grace of God. And so you have become more and more indebted to him. That's the way it should be, because God your Father wants to give you his grace. He lavishes that grace upon us. Well, secondly, let's notice you endure hardships by being mentored and being a mentor for others. So you endure hardships by being mentored and being a mentor for others. Timothy is to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what he has heard from Paul, Paul is a mentor to Timothy and taught him many things. Timothy, likewise, is to be a mentor. He is to mentor faithful men who can then teach others for this chain to continue. The focus here is on gospel ministers. It's critical that gospel leadership is encouraged for the strength of the church. And so we should be encouraging men who are strong Christians to consider ministry. We should be mentoring them so that they'll become even stronger, that they're in a position to become able pastors or elders in the local church or take up other positions of leadership in the church. And so it's important also to be investing in our seminary, to pray for our seminary. A good seminary is important for the health of the church. But it would be wrong for us to contract out all mentorship and training to the seminary. Now, we are to seek out those gifts and interests and encourage them in their faith. Sometimes our focus as elders are on those who are weak or on those who have troubles. And while that is correct, it can be to the neglect of others. I remember talking to a pastor back home who had taken on a new charge, and I asked him, would he do anything differently? And one thing he said was that he wouldn't respond so quick to the sheep who bleat the loudest, to the neglect of the stronger sheep who could benefit from more pastoral care. So when we encourage those who are mature in their faith to serve all the more, rather than it increasing our workload, it should actually decrease it. As our workload is shared, as more and more people are ministering to each other. We are responsible for the passing on of the gospel. They say the average life of an evangelical church is 30 years. Well, why such a short lifespan? Well, it's because the gospel has not been faithfully passed on. Ryken says, we know that the Church of Jesus Christ will endure as long as time shall last. But we also know that in any particular culture, the church is never more than one generation away from extinction. Other things creep in, and the passing on of the gospel is no longer priority. We're to keep going in our mentoring. We're to look for those who we can encourage in their faith. Those we are encouraging, we must continue. So the question is, who are you passing the gospel along to? Well, in your family, are you passing the gospel on to your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews? In the church, it's your Sunday school class, it's the youth group. Older women are to pass it on to younger women. Older men are to pass it on to younger men. We are to disciple those who have just become Christians. Paul is calling Timothy to endure, and likewise we must endure in mentoring others. It's easy to grow tired when we would prefer to quit teaching the Sunday school, when we would like our Wednesday nights back rather than being at youth group, or when we're tired of meeting up one-to-one, maybe not seeing much fruit. Keep going. For through it, the gospel is being passed on. In the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Indy's dad is in trouble. He's caught, and he has completed much research into the Holy Grail, and he's written it all down in his diary. And in this diary, there are maps, there are codes, there are ways to escape, the different booby traps, and he doesn't want all this information to get into the wrong hands. But nor does he want all this research to be lost. So he sends it to his son, Indy. He entrusted it into the right hands, into one who would look after it. It's a valuable possession. Well, we have a possession much more valuable. And we're to pass on the gospel to reliable men who are faithful to the message. And this passing on of the gospel has been evident in this church. You have mentored 5 men that I know of who are now in full-time gospel ministry. And you have mentored countless other people who have gone out from this church. Endure, therefore, in this task of mentoring. Yes, you might not always reap the rewards here in Bloomington, but the kingdom advances in this world, and God is using you to be part of that. Well, to help us endure, Paul gives us 3 pictures of occupations where there is a daily call to endure. And so thirdly, let's notice you endure hardships like that of the soldier who doesn't compromise. Endure hardships like that of the soldier who doesn't compromise. Now, back in the UK, maybe it's similar here, there are various advertisements on the telly to encourage people to join up to the army. And it's often portrayed as very glamorous. Want to see the world? Well, join up. You want to jump from a helicopter? Join up. You want to be a medic and help people from life-threatening injuries? Join up. If you want to be a mechanic and get the opportunity to work on tanks and aircrafts, join up. And while there is a certain amount of truth to that, the other side of the army is not so glamorous. A soldier has to be ready to fight in a war. And it's tough work. You're on the front line in Afghanistan. Bullets are whizzing past you. Your opposition is seeking to kill you. The road that you travel on is full of IEDs. Some of your colleagues may be dead or injured. The threat is real. Each day you wake up wondering, will this be your last? It's tough work. It's stressful. You have to be on your guard. You can't be carefree. The enemy is trying to break through any weakness. And so you must endure any hardship so not to be defeated by the enemy. So when the soldier is on the front line, he doesn't check his Facebook account. He doesn't daydream and wonder, how are the Kansas City Chiefs doing? He doesn't try to balance his checkbook. He doesn't pull out his novel. He doesn't get to see his family. No, that would only compromise his safety and the safety of that of his battalion. His focus is on the fight. That's not that those things are wrong, and in his downtime, he can do that. But in the fight, he can't. As Paul says, he can't get entangled with the affairs of this life. And likewise, for us as believers, we are called not to a glamorous life, but to a life on the front line. It's not comfortable. It won't be easy. We can expect scars from the opposition. We can't run away. We are always on this front line. Now, because we're not to get entangled with civilian affairs, we could go to the extreme and say no to music, no to the arts, or to sport, or to science, or even to secular work altogether. Or what about even family life? Surely that can't be right, that we're to devote ourselves 24/7 to the reading of our Bibles. No, it's the civilian affairs that distract. It's the civilian affairs that entangle. It's things that hinder you from the service, your service to Christ. If you're finding something in your life that distracts you from the gospel, you are to stop it. And we see what motivates the soldier. He wants to please his commanding officer. Before the invasion of Iraq in 2003, Colonel Tim Collins gave an inspiring speech on the eve of battle to the 1st Battalion of the Royal Irish Regiment. And it's worth looking up. It's a well-known speech. And in the speech, he shows respect for the nation of Iraq and its civilians, and he shows concern for the soldiers under him. He says it's a big step to take another human life. It's not to be done lightly. I know of men who have taken life needlessly in other conflicts, and I can assure you they live with the mark of Cain upon them. If someone surrenders to you, then remember they have that right in international law, and ensure that one day they go home to their family. The one who wished to fight, well, we aim to please. And in the speech, we also see his care for his soldiers. He says, it is my foremost intention to bring every single one of you out alive. But there may be people among us who will not see the end of this campaign, and we will put them in their sleeping bags and send them back. There will be no time for sorrow. The enemy should be in no doubt that we are his nemesis and that we are bringing about his rightful destruction. No doubt the soldiers under Colonel Collins sought to please him because of his care for them. Well, we are called to serve Christ. He is our great captain, the warrior of our salvation. And as you go about ministry, about serving, you should ask yourselves, is this something that will please my commanding officer? What's your drive in life? What's your passion? What gets you up in the morning to endure a demanding day? Is it your desire to please Christ, your commanding officer? Well, fourthly, let's consider, you endure hardships like that of the athlete who always obeys. In verse 5, you endure hardships like that of the athlete who always obeys. Paul describes how the athlete must compete according to the rules. The athlete will set himself rules of self-discipline to prepare for his race. I went to school with a guy who would go on to win bronze at the London 2012 Olympics for single scull rowing. And the self-discipline involved is incredible. He dropped out of university so that he could commit 100% to his training. And he said, we have rehearsed every single second of the race, completing over 10 hours worth of training for every second. Every stroke has been rehearsed 36,000 times. So not only was it physical training, he also mentions his mental training. He says, in the first 1,500 meters, it's all about doing the right thing, but the emotion will come in during the last 500 meters. And in his training, he would listen to Christmas music to motivate himself. And that was to remind himself that what he was giving up to compete in the Olympics and to win this medal. He gave up Christmas. He had a strict diet, strict exercise regime, a strict sleep pattern. Nothing could interfere with that. For an athlete, there must not be a temptation to bend the rules, to skip the alarm and get an extra hour of sleep rather than to work out, to indulge in that slice of chocolate cake, even though it's against the rules. Or maybe it's more extreme rule breaking, like performance-enhancing drugs. Well, how does this relate to you and your service to God? Well, yes, you are to preach the gospel, but your life is to display the gospel. And you do that by living obedient lives, lives of integrity that involve self-discipline, involve sacrifice. Obeying God is not comfortable. It might come at a cost. It may mean doing things you'd rather not do. For some, it comes at the cost of a friendship, or a job. In extreme cases, we even read of imprisonment. You are to endure, even if that means hardship. Sadly, we often see Christians who do not end well. They start off well, but they become laxed in keeping the rules. They don't keep the rules, and they become spiritually weak. No, we are to obey. And we see the reward for obeying for the athlete. He gets the crown. And likewise for us, we are crowned with victory. And this is not a reward of merit, but a gift for all those who are faithful. The athlete who endures wins the crown. And we are also to endure to the end, keeping the rules. And then fifthly, let's notice you endure hardship like that of the hard-working farmer. You endure hardships like that of the hard-working farmer. Well, growing up on a farm, I got to see firsthand the hard-working farmer. For a farmer, it all comes down to hard work. If you don't work, you will not have food. It's hard to be lazy as a farmer because the work has to be done. You can't simply coast along. The seed won't sow itself. The cows won't milk themselves. It's never a case of, I'll do that another day. You only get out what you put in. It's that simple. And so we are to endure by having that similar drive as a farmer who gives himself fully to the task. It's demanding. And that is how you are to labor in serving God. You're to keep going day in, day out. You're to faithfully sow the seed of God's word into your congregation, into your Sunday school class, into the lives of your children, into your mentee who you meet up with. One commentator says, unlike the soldier and the athlete, the farmer's life is totally devoid of excitement, remote from all glamour of peril and applause. That's maybe a little extreme, but he is right when he says there is no applause. Farmers are their own boss. There's no awards, there's no pay rises, there are no fancy work parties or morale team building exercises. No, the reward of the farmer's hard work is that he gets the first share of the crops. For the pastor, the most important harvest is the one that he reaps from the sowing of God's word. It's the hardworking farmer who gets a good crop, and often it's the hardworking pastor who reaps a harvest. Lazy pastors only give themselves more work by not dealing with what needs dealt with. And the same is true for each of you. It will take hard work in whatever ministry you're involved in. Will you get to see the fruit of your labor? Well, not if you don't put the hard work in. Paul ends in verse 7, reflect on what I'm saying, and the Lord will give you understanding in all of this. And so there is the call to apply this to ourselves. What does it mean for me to be loyal in passing on the gospel? And each of us are different. We have different ministries. We have different people in our lives. We have different gifts and different abilities. What Paul is able to do in prison is different from what Timothy can do. And God allows hardship in our lives. And we often find that confusing. It stumps us. And sadly, we often quit in response. No, you are to consider what it means for you to be loyal to the gospel, even in the midst of this hardship. And God will give you understanding in the confusion of these hardships. I remember speaking to a lady about how she was forced to leave Zimbabwe because of President Mugabe. And her comfort was her ability to continue, because of the internet, to keep in touch with her old friends and her family members. And I was telling her, we don't know why God has allowed this suffering to happen to her. And she was able to reason that she was like Paul in prison. Although far away from friends and family, she could still keep in contact by her emails and by her letters. She could continue to serve despite her hardships, despite being far away from her friends and family. Likewise for you, reflect on this and seek understanding from God. So let's seek to be loyal to the gospel. Endure hardships. Be inspired by the uncompromising soldier, the obedient, self-disciplined athlete, and the hard-working farmer. I wonder if you have seen the movie The Pursuit of Happiness, which is based on the true rags-to-riches story of the life of Chris Gardner. Chris Gardner, a single dad who is homeless, he completes an unpaid internship, and he never once complains about the pressure that he's under. He gives his all in this internship and ends up getting the job. This was a man who knew extreme hardship. Even on occasion with his son, he slept on the floor of a bathroom in a public restroom. He endured it to provide for his son and to make a living. And there's a moving scene in the movie of Chris and his son in church, and they're singing, "Lord, don't move the mountain. Give me the grace to climb. Lord, don't move my stumbling blocks, but lead me all around." And the movie is based on the book by Chris Gardner that he wrote, and he intentionally called it The Pursuit of Happiness. He realized to gain happiness, he had to pursue. He had to endure. Well, we are called to endure. So where are your blisters? Where are your aches and pains? The early mornings, the late nights, the sacrifices, the exhaustion, the evidence of kingdom work in your life. We're called to endure hardship in our loyalty to the gospel. We don't do this in our own strength, but by the grace of God. And he enables us so we can look forward to our reward. We are rewarded when we see how God has used our hard work of mentoring those, when we see those we have mentored growing and serving God. In response to our obedience and our not compromising, we hear the words from Jesus, our commanding officer, "Well done, good and faithful servant," as he puts crowns on our heads. Let us continue to be loyal to the gospel and ready to endure hardship. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words from Paul to Timothy. We thank you, Lord, for the realism. Paul has called Timothy to be loyal to the gospel, and yet he recognizes the hardships in Timothy's life. And Lord, we thank you for the encouragements. We thank you for the encouragement that you give us grace. And so, Lord, remind us of this truth, Lord, that we would go out knowing that you provide us the grace and strength to serve you. Father, we thank you for those who have mentored us. We thank you for godly parents, godly Sunday school teachers and youth group leaders. We thank you for the many influences in our lives for us to know you and to serve you. And so we pray, Lord, that you would give us the desire to see the gospel passed on, that we would seek to mentor those in our life. Lord, help us with our children, our grandchildren, with our family. Help us, Lord, with the children in our class, in our Sunday school class, in youth group. Help us, Lord, as we seek to mentor younger women or younger men, Lord, that we would be intentional in our Christian walk with others. Father, we thank you for these three pictures of endurance, for the soldier who doesn't compromise, for the athlete who is self-disciplined and obedient, and for the hard-working farmer. We thank you for the endurance each of these occupations show us. And so we pray, Father, that we also would endure. Lord, that we would not compromise. Instead, that we would be focused on serving you, our commanding officer, that we would please you. Lord, that we would be self-disciplined, that our lives would be lives of integrity that adorn the gospel. And Lord, that we would be like the farmer, hardworking as we sow the seed of the gospel. And so, Lord, we pray for your help and your grace as we seek to be loyal to the gospel, even in the different hardships that we face. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.